This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Gen 40 Heater. Save $20 plus get free shipping on the Gen 40 Heater now at EdenPureDeals.com and use code HOWIEHEATER. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Kenosha shooter, Kyle Rittenhouse. He murdered two people, by the way.
Kyle Rittenhouse, the 17-year-old vigilante.
Kyle Rittenhouse, the vigilante.
Kyle Rittenhouse, the armed teenage vigilante.
It wasn't until you pointed your gun at him, advanced on him, with your gun, now your hands down, pointed at him, that he fired, right?
Correct.
The problem is, this is a grave constitutional violation. So I don't know what you're up to.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
What I would be saying to the president is I would just ask him to keep doing what he's doing.
I mean, if he's not going to support the border being secured, then he should be able to have everyone there. If they're going to come here, you know, we'll provide buses and provide them. I will send them to Delaware.
The Simpsons are going to Delaware.
I want to see Wilmington.
I want to visit a screen door factory.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. Again, if you want to read my column that was censored by the Herald, you can go to my website, HowieCarrShow.com. Tell me what, there's nothing in that column that was incorrect. I guess it made Charlie Parker look bad, though, so they had to just spike it. But you can't spike things now because I just put it on the website. So it's the second thing in.
Did this just happen?
Yeah. Baker's DCR press secretary, deeply devoted to constituent services. She was hanging on until we published the column, which was, I guess, you know, Turtle Boy had written about it yesterday. And my column was supposed to go, but they tried to stop it to protect Charlie Parker. So, you know, that's the way it's going. That's the way they're going to play. That's cool, I guess. So, but you know, once I posted it, she was gone within a couple of hours, and she was running her own little porn site. I guess you call it fans only or only fans. She lost a $58,000 job. She was just a very connected, Republican hack operative in a hack state agency, the Department of Conservation and Recreation, or as Turtle Boy was calling it in a good line, the Department of Conservation and Rhinos, because it's all rhinos and everybody works there. They're all big Baker people, and they don't want to, you know, it's important not to embarrass the Baker people, I guess, for the Boston Herald. So that's the way it's going to go. That's the way it's going to go. So I'll still be writing, but it's I'm gonna be writing now for a while on the website. So you just go to website on Friday or Sunday or Wednesday, and you can get the same columns. You don't have to get the Herald though anymore, not for a while. 844-500-4242. We have the Charlie Parker cut today. He went out to Worcester with Colonel Mason of the state police. I guess they stopped their persecution, their jihads of state troopers who don't want to get the vaccine long enough to have a big press conference. I thought maybe they would appoint this woman Olivia Durance as the new colonel of the state police, but they probably can't because I think they still have a law in place that you have to appoint someone from the ranks. It would have to be, I guess, Leah Gendoso or another one of those big Republican. She's a good pal, as you know, the drug dealer of Karen Polito. She's not on the job anymore. Anyway, here's Charlie Parker talking about his devoted supporter, a great Rhino Republican, Olivia Durance, known in the online porn world as Live a Little, as in Olivia, Live a Little.
Decisions we make with respect to personnel are usually based on the specifics of each circumstance and each set of facts. In this particular case, we made a decision. We let her go. Well, I would never speak to the particulars of any specific circumstance involving a personnel decision, but I will say that that employee's been let go.
Breaks his heart, breaks the heart of all those rhinos that work in the the Department of Conservation. And another one that used to work there was also bagged on watching porn on the job. He's a big he's still on the state committee as a big Baker supporter. And then you got that guy Tom Mountain. He's the vice chairman. He's not on the DCR payroll, but he had a problem with the internet a few weeks back, and he's a big Baker supporter. And then you got this Olivia Durant. Got her job through Charlie Parker's secretary of environmental affairs, a guy named Matt Beaton, who gave $1,300 to Charlie Baker, and I think $1,100 to Polito. 844-500-4242. And then we have a guy named Hoven that got into a lot of trouble. Hoven is a guy who runs a big health company down in Bristol County area. And Coven is a Coven. Coven. That's the crappy judge from Somerville. This is Hoven. Hoven's a guy who was very big into firing nurses who won't get the jab. Well, guess what is, and he gave $3,750 to Baker and $3,500 to Polito. So of course they're never going to say anything bad about him. But guess what? This big campaign contributor this probably story won't be in the Herald either, because it's involves a campaign contributor to Baker and Polito. Southeast Health President and CEO Keith Hoven was arrested over the weekend for allegedly striking his wife during a domestic dispute that escalated after the couple argued over which TV show to watch. Who knew they were still watching TV shows? Police reports filed in court said the couple's daughter, the guy makes, by the way, $2.3 million a year, called 911 Saturday night, and that a responding officer who knocked on the front door was met by Hoven, who exited with his hands in the air and said something along the lines of, "It was me, I did it, my arm hit her in the face." At the time, the police said, Hoven, the big Charlie Baker and Karen Polito supporter, was covered in a liquid that smelled of an alcoholic beverage. Police found in excess of 40 firearms located in the home. They also found tens of thousands of rounds of ammunition, apparently, as well. By the way, Hoven last year received an Outstanding Citizen Award from the One South Coast Chamber of Commerce. And now he's requiring COVID-19 vaccinations for all employees, providers, and staff. And he's firing people while he's getting arrested for domestic abuse and being drunk. Hoven exited with his hands in the air and told the police something along the lines of, "It was me. I did it. My arm hit her in the face." A lot to get through here. Here's Biden today. Let's do a little bit of Biden here at the Port of Baltimore. Cut number 10.
I traveled all over the country this year. You know, there's $99 billion in losses because of storms this year. $99 billion.
Oh, I thought it was nine. You said nine, and then you said 99. Now he's talking about the forest being lost to wildfires. He doesn't mention that the Trump deranged college professor in California that was setting the fires, and he set the biggest ones in Northern California. He doesn't mention that guy, but hey, you know, it's not in the papers. They're not reporting it. Cut 11.
Then the entire state of New Jersey, from the Cape all the way to New York. That's how much we've lost in America. So far.
Economic experts, always a tough words for Joe Biden. Cut 12.
And according to the economic experts, this bill is going to ease inflationary pressures.
Raise your hand if you believe that spending $1.7 billion or $4 billion in the next one is going to ease economic inflationary pressures. Cut 13.
Yesterday, I announced the port plan of action.
Port plan of action. Cut 19.
In 19 days, excuse me, COVID-19 has changed the way we spend our time and our money.
In 19 days.
COVID-19 has changed the way we spend our time and our money.
Here's a question I'll bet you've thought about. Joe Biden, as clueless as he is, knows what you've been thinking. Cut 20.
And people are feeling it. They're feeling it. Do you ever think you'd be paying this much for a gallon of gas? In some parts of California, they're paying $4.50 a gallon.
So he's giving out more welfare, though. That makes it great. He's all the welfare checks. And by the way, he's talking about all this money that's being paid out. It's a lot less than the $450,000 they plan to give out to the MS-13 gangbangers who come across the Rio Grande, the people who've already been deported once before by the authorities for committing violent crimes. They're going to get $450,000, but he thinks you should be happy. Cut 16.
And the irony is people have more money now because of the first major piece of legislation I passed. You all got checks for $1,400. You got checks for a whole range of things. If you're a mom and you have kids under the age of 7, you're getting $300 a month. And if it's over 7 to 17, you're getting $360 a month, like wealthy people used to do when they get back tax returns. It changed people's lives.
Yeah, they stopped working and they sunk into deep poverty, just like after the Great Society in the 1960s. 844-500-4242. Protecting your family is essential, but defending yourself doesn't have to be lethal. It's time for safer self-defense with Taser, because Taser protects life on both sides of the trigger. Non-lethal and easier to use than a gun, Taser's smart self-protection devices can stop threats before, during, and after you pull the trigger. Take the Taser Pulse Plus. From 15 feet away, it can lock up an attacker's muscles for up to 30 seconds. That's half a minute. So you can escape safely. And when paired with your phone, the Taser Pulse Plus alerts emergency dispatchers with your GPS location as soon as you fire. And if you ever have to fire yours, Taser will replace the device for free. Get the same Taser technology trusted by police officers across the country since 1993, giving you the confidence to pull the trigger. Get Taser Pulse Plus today and save 15% at Taser.com and enter promo code Howie. Spell TASER.com, promo code Howie. Taser.com, promo code Howie. Supplies are limited. Restrictions apply. See site for details. I'm Howie Carr.
He only steals from the very best.
The 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help."
Howie Carr returns after this.
You're slapped, you'll take it and like it.
Howie Carr is back.
Add 2 delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine for heart-healthy energy without a caffeine crash. For my listeners only, you can get up to 45% off plus free shipping at superbeats.com/Howie. This is their best offer available anywhere. That's superbeatsradio.com/Howie, up to 45% off at superbeatsradio.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
What was Brian Williams' biggest fib? Bodies floating by, our helicopter was under heavy fire, robbed at gunpoint while selling Christmas trees, or watched a man commit suicide in the Superdome?
I'm still voting for the body floating by on Canal Street in the
holding steady at 52%, and in second place with 31% is our helicopters were under heavy fire.
All right. 844-500-4242. This is a perilous time for all of the society, but particularly for law enforcement. And it's been terrible in the city of Boston over the last few days. And last night there were three police officers shot during a hostage incident in Dorchester. And the perp was killed. And on Saturday night, one officer was stabbed. And it's just a mess. And I'll just introduce Larry Calderon, and he's the president of the Boston Police Patrolmen's Association. And Larry, why don't you tell us what you told the media last night about what's been going on in Boston here these last few days with the four officers being injured by violence in the city.
Thank you for having me on again, Howie Carr. I appreciate
thank you.
The time.
Thank you, Larry. Thanks for coming out. I appreciate it.
Well, my quote is, at least it was quoted in the Herald, something along the anger and the outrage when police officers end up being attacked and put in the hospital. We had four, like you said, one Saturday, three yesterday afternoon. And where is the anger and the outrage when this happens? You know, when a police officer does something wrong anywhere in the country, it's front news media attention. And here we have four police officers in the last few days here in Boston that have been violently attacked. And we're not hearing too much. We got kudos yesterday, and we're very thankful from Commissioner and Chief Long and District Attorney Rachel Rollins, both out there supporting the men and women that keep us safe every night. And Mayor-elect Wu visited down at the hospital and had kind words to say. But where is everyone else? I don't understand. You had a 15-year-old on one of the TV stations last night. I can't remember which one, but he said, why would anybody want to hurt the police? The police are in our neighborhoods every day protecting us. I'm sure that's not the quote, but it was something like that. Where are the parents? Where are the community leaders? Where are our elected officials? We have many elected officials that are texting and calling it's always the same people.
Wu said something about the trauma in those neighborhoods. How about the trauma of the police officers who were in the hospital?
I would agree on the trauma in the hospital, and again, we're thankful for Mayor Wu showing up at the hospital, and she's only been the elected mayor now for a few days, but so far she showed up, she's made the phone calls, she's doing what we hope she will continue to do, but being in the hospital is pretty surreal. When you're there and you're waiting for the wife of a police officer, a husband of a police officer to show up after receiving the news that they've been shot, and when you see their face coming into the emergency room, I don't really quite know how to explain that, except that it's an emotional scene, and people just don't understand that police officers come in day and night to answer calls for service and protect the general public. We don't need to be punching bags.
This guy on Saturday, apparently there's a story in one of the papers today, I think that he was involved in an incident in 2018 or 2019. He tried to strangle a female police officer.
I'm going to go further, Howie, and tell you, he didn't try to. He did. He strangled her almost unconscious until other officers arrived. They were having a hand-to-hand combat, fist fighting as he was trying to take her firearm away. And if it wasn't for the other officers to show up and save her, she might not be with us today. And these are the stories you don't see on major news channels.
How is it possible that two or three years later he's out on the street? A guy who tried to kill a police officer. I mean, to kill anybody, but specifically a police officer.
That's a good question, Howie. I hope somebody's going to answer that for us, because I don't know how it's possible.
It just seems like, I mean, the guy that shot at the police officers during the George Floyd riots back in May and June of last year, I mean, he's going to jail for 5 years. But I mean, is anybody else going to prison for those? I mean, there was huge amounts of looting over large parts of the city. The entire commercial district of the Back Bay was trashed.
Yes, and we had some police officers that were fired upon, many members of our plainclothes anti-gang violence unit, better known as the gang unit, that they had multiple rounds fired at them, and I think it received maybe 3 or 4 minutes on the national news channel, and that was it, like tomorrow's news. And it just seems like every time a police officer is assaulted or something happens, we talk about it for a day, and the next day we're getting bashed in the media again.
If you want to talk to Larry Calderon, president of the BPPA. Give us a call, 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. That is the number if you'd like to call us and talk to Larry Calderon, the president of the Boston Police Patrolmen's Association, the BPPA, the biggest police union in this, in New England, I guess. And we're talking about the police issues. Three, four cops have been shot in the last, or stabbed in the last few days. And he said last night, where is the anger and outrage when four police officers end up in the hospital after being stabbed or shot in two separate incidents in less than 72 hours? The complete and utter disregard for the safety of our officers has never been higher, and violence directed towards our officers needs to end. And I think, you know, everyone agrees, even if you're not getting much backup from the politicians. I want to ask you one thing about the COVID restrictions. You know, the state police are just getting really in bad shape. I talk to their guy, their lawyer, Bill Jens, all the time about this, and they just keep adding people that have taken the shots. They get sick. You know, one was in a medically induced coma for weeks. Another one's, marathon runner, can't even keep up with his kids when he goes to Six Flags. There's just these terrible stories, and they can't get a break from the governor about getting an alternative to getting the jab, which is the tests. Now, you guys negotiated a deal so that you could either get the jab or the tests, but Michelle Wu is a real dead ender in so many left-wing, you don't have to comment, but in so many left-wing ways. I mean, are you concerned that she's going to rescind this agreement and force you guys to get the jab, like the state police and the prison guards?
So we're always concerned about anything that that might affect the men and women that I represent and their families. I'm proud to say that we're the first police union here in Boston and maybe in the Commonwealth that has a written agreement with then-Mayor Janey to have the option of being tested once a week or being vaccinated.
That'll be good for about another week.
Well, we're hoping it's good for the year that we signed on for. But as far as the state police, I can't pretend to know what they're talking to the governor about. But it seems like, from what I understand, they're looking for the same option. They're
right.
Looking for an option to be tested or to be vaccinated.
And again, these numbers of people that are affected adversely, and they're very. It's like they're angry. They don't have enough state cops. They're forcing people to go to work. They've taken away dogs from these people that won't get tested. Mm-hmm. It's just really bad. I mean. I just was asking you, do you think the same thing could happen to the Boston Police Department?
Well, I don't think it's going to happen to the Boston Police Patrolmen's Association. We have an agreement, Howie, and I'll tell you that I'll be out
but
here.
But there are other unions, they don't have that agreement? Is that what you're saying?
Many of the other organizations, from what I understand, don't have that agreement signed yet for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. I'm not privy to the conversations behind the door, but I know the men and women I represent, they're good until June 30th, and if the new mayor were to option to change that, then I would expect to sit back down at the bargaining table and have the same courtesy conversations that we had with Mayor Janey.
Let's talk about another crime problem. Before we'll get to the calls too, 844-500-4242, but there was a vicious attack on a principal in Dorchester the last few days. Another, also less than a week ago, and the mayor-elect Wu says she doesn't want cops in the schools. Is that what's your policy on that?
I won't say it's my policy, but
what's your stand?
Well, my stance is that we need police officers in the schools. The other day, what happened to that principal should never happen to.
She was unconscious. That's a real beating when you go unconscious.
And I've been around a long time, Howie. Years ago, we were complaining we didn't have enough police officers in the schools, that we needed to form relationships with the kids, that we needed to stop the pipeline of high school to prison. And we believe in that. At least I know I do. We want to see a better alternative for the schools in Boston, for our kids to go through school in Boston. And for many a decade now, we've formed great relationships with our Boston School Police Unit, who have been in and out of the schools. They're coaches. They're weekend advocates for the kids to have something to do. To all of a sudden pull them out of the schools, I don't quite understand that, because you replace them with security personnel, which is just another nice way to say you have a law enforcement officer in your school. I'll be unarmed, of course.
Yeah, but I mean, the first thing the security officer is going to do if he sees some trouble is he's going to call
911. Absolutely.
Right?
Yes. Which is why we should be in the schools, Howie. There are ways to figure out how we can do it. Again, you know, we're part of the police reform. We were knees deep in instruction. We believe in it here in Boston. The Patrolmen's Association supports most of the changes that are there. And in Boston, we were doing them before we even had the reform bill signed into law. But the point is, there's always a way to have open dialogue and conversation to make things work. These knee-jerk reactions of, we must put police officers in the schools, and then we must take them all out. It's never a good recipe. It's a recipe for disaster, and look what we have.
Got a text from 617. Bad for cops to be attacked in Boston, but why did they defend the Antifa protesters with no permit on the common Sunday? Wu wants to defund the police, so what does this guy have to say about that? I mean, you're not the political leadership of the city, but there seems to be a double standard here. You know, if you're you know, a libertarian group, whatever that fun party group is, they have to get a permit. Antifa does not have to get a permit. What the hell is going on?
I wish I could answer that question for you, Howie. I can't. I'm just a rank-and-file police officer. I represent many other rank-and-file police officers. And I can tell you that the department did a great job this past weekend with what we were dealing with. And I have to hand it from Commissioner Long all the way down through the men and women I represent, detectives, superiors. They just did a great job putting up with people that are coming into Boston that don't live in Boston to create havoc. I mean, we caught
kids. I know, and none of those people were arrested either. I mean, I know a couple of them were, but they were on the other side. I mean, none of the Antifa people were arrested, and they were the ones that were causing the trouble, weren't they?
I don't know if it was specifically them, to be truthful. I know that we found some kids that were carrying bricks in their backpacks. I know we have some video of antagonists that were spraying brake fluid cleaner in other people's eyes. And again, we just did a great job. We were trying to let the protest happen, and we were trying to let people exercise their First Amendment rights. And then when it got out of hand, the commissioner made a call to shut it down. And the men and women did a great job out there. And, you know, our men and women do a great job every day. And we just need somebody to say that. You know, words matter. And whether it's a top politician, the chief of the department, me here on the radio, or anybody else. Again, we had a neighborhood citizen that gave a comment last night for our offices that were shut. And they said, why would anybody want to shoot a police officer? They're in our neighborhoods. They're helping us every day. We need to work with them. I'm ad-libbing a little bit on what was in the paper.
I understand.
It drives our members crazy because we're out there doing the job, whether it's a community service officer, a plainclothes officer doing drug work, etc. We're out there every day protecting the citizens of Boston because we love our city. We love our citizens. And they're out there embracing us. But yet there's a few that never want to say we're doing a great job, that want to talk about the one experience they had when they were 17 with the police officer who maybe he did or she did have a bad day and do something wrong. I'm never one to say that we don't do anything wrong. But you'll hear me again and again say, there's always room for conversation. There's always room to sit down at the table and figure out how we can do our job better because we want to.
Here's a text. BFD, Boston Fire Department, also has an agreement codified with the city. Vax or test. It's like having a prenup. I hadn't thought of it. That's a pretty good way to look at it. All right, let's take a call or two. Joe, you're next with Howie Carr and Larry Calderon, president of the Boston Police Patrolmen's Association. Go ahead there. Did we lose him?
No, I'm here, Howie. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Mr. Calderon, thank you for standing up for your guys. And we certainly, many of us out here, support you. And I just think that through the last several years, there's been a degree of violence that's been allowed to happen. And I think it, for a conservative in Boston, you talk about protests. Well, we feel as if it's open season on us when we want to extend our civil rights and protest. I just think that there's a degree of violence that's allowed, and it's worked its way over to all facets of authority. And I just don't know why that, you know, you can't lower the bar now on some of these, what's considered violence and, you know, preventative ideas.
Right. Yeah, thanks for the call. And you know, people are saying, again, we're getting more texts saying, why didn't you go after Antifa when they were attacking these people that had a permit?
Again, I can't answer that.
I know. I'm just pointing it out that people are frustrated about that. I think you know that.
I do. Let me share with you, for those people that are in, obviously numerous, that are texting and emailing you, we understand how you feel, but the job of the police officer on the street is to protect everybody's rights, protect everyone that's there. And I can tell you, unequivocally, our men and women do that every day, every time that there's a protest, every time there's a standout. I was there last year with both sides, the Antifa and Happy Safe America, I think was the name of them. But I was there with our bicycle unit, and I was there with our officers standing there. We protect everybody's rights, Howie, and I know it looks like a double standard sometime, but the uniformed police officer that's out there is doing their job. The decision-making process, that's somebody else's, not us.
Steve, you're next with Howie Carr and Larry Calderon from the BPPA. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, what's up, Larry? How are you?
Good, Steve. Thank you.
So I just got a question relative to some of these statements made by the politicians. First of all, Michelle Wu, I don't know if you saw the clip of her latest interview when she was asked by the media if she would condemn the shooting of the police officers, and she stated something to the effect that she didn't feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah, we're looking for that sound cut, Steve, by the way. Do we have that sound cut yet?
Yeah,
they're
available.
Okay, everybody, we got to go. Mary, look, under your watch, what is your message to people think that it's okay to shoot at Boston police officers? Under your watch, what is your message to people that think it's okay to shoot at police officers?
I even pushed back on the frame of that question. We are a city where every single person is part of the same community. We are a city where all of our neighborhoods should be a home to families who are connected to every opportunity possible. This is one of the most well-resourced cities in the world. We need to be able to wrap around every single one of our young people and community members so that they have every pathway open to them for how they will reach their fullest potential. Does anyone need Spanish? Are you okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yes. Back to your original reason for the press conference, that would be great.
Okay, that's it. She can't take a stand when she's asked whether or not it's a bad thing, basically, to shoot a cop?
Steve, I know you have a question there. What is it now that we've heard that soundbite?
So my question is, why are we giving her any kind of credit for doing the obligatory visits to the hospital that she has to do for her own PR when she can't even come out on the simplest question and say, yeah, it's bad to shoot the police? And her whole campaign was basically anti-police. And the similar issue would be with ADA Rawlins, how she's going to say she's got our back. She hasn't had our back forever. She has her back now after she's losing support for her attorney general's job, a U.S. attorney's job that she's up for, and she wants that. Now all of a sudden it's don't defund the police. But it wasn't always that way.
Yeah, I hear you there on both counts. I guess I'll answer it this way for you, Steve. Mayor Wu is the mayor-elect of the city, and I'm well aware of her four-page stance and the positions.
Yeah, we're going to talk about
that she's back. Taken. But
civilianizing, you know, we'll talk about that.
Just like police officers on the street, we don't want to be judged on things that we might be doing that we kind of think we're going to do. We're going to judge the mayor on how she treats us moving forward, what those open negotiations and discussions are, what they're going to entail. And when Mayor Wu and her team sit down with me and the Boston Police Patrolman Association leadership, we'll have a better understanding of where Mayor was going, but I don't want to prejudge her. As far as why she couldn't answer the question, I don't know. That's a simple answer. Never.
Right.
A police officer should never be shot when they're working in the line of duty, wearing a uniform. I agree with some of the things that she was saying about kids. I just said it myself in school, but the answer is never.
I understand. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Larry. As we age, the fatigue and failing endurance we feel can't be fixed with more and more caffeine. Introducing a new way to start your day, Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that gives you the energy you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, and candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats heart chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your entire day without a caffeine crash. You take two a day. They're wrapped in candy, light. They're wrapped in foil like candy. They taste great like candy, but they're not bad for you. They're good for you. They give you heart, make you heart healthier. They help your blood pressure, your circulation. Because they use unique clinically researched grapeseed extract to promote heart healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. It's great. I take two a day, one before breakfast in the morning, one during the show, and I choose Super Beats Heart Chews for healthy heart energy, and you should too, and you'll be glad you did. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be twice as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. For my listeners only, you can get up to 45% off plus free shipping at superbeatsradio.com/Howie. This is their best offer available anywhere. That's superbeatsradio.com/Howie, up to 45% off at superbeatsradio.com/Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie will be right back after a quick trip to the Redemption Center. Say what you will about him.
He's a common, ignorant slob. He don't even speak good English.
He doesn't even speak good English.
He's Howie Carr, and he's here to stay.
I mean, I even push back on the frame of that question. We are a city where every single person is part of the same community. We are a city where all of our neighborhoods should be a home to families who are connected to every opportunity possible.
Steve Cooper from Channel 7 asked, what do you say to people who are shooting cops? And is it okay ever to shoot a cop? That's basically what he said. And again, there's a one word answer to that for anybody, whether you're in law enforcement or not. And the word is never, never. And she couldn't bring herself to say it. I mean, who is she afraid of being criticized by? All right. I want to ask you about this four-page document that she put out, during the campaign. It was kind of like her Rachel Rollins moment. And she the one thing that stuck out in my mind was she said she doesn't want any more police. She doesn't want as few traffic stops as possible by police. She wants to, in her word, civilianize traffic stops in the city of Boston. How could that possibly work?
I don't know that answer yet, Howie. Again, she's only been the mayor a couple of days. I'm aware of the document. Like I just said, I know it's in there. I'm very eager to sit down with the mayor herself one-on-one, just like I've done with the last two mayors, Walsh and Janey. We need to sit down and figure out how we're going to make policing better and how we're going to protect the citizens of Boston better. I have no idea how a civilian traffic force, if we're talking about moving violations, I don't know how that would work. If we're talking about something more along parking violations, like the meter maid service, we already have them. Yeah, that's why I don't know the answer yet, because I don't know really what she wants to do.
We're almost out of time with Larry Calderon, but let's take one more call. Larry, you're next with Howie Carr and Larry Calderon. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yes, Larry and Howie. Yeah, the police, I have a lot of respect for them in Boston, but they've got to get tougher. You cannot allow people to disrupt peaceful demonstrations. You can't allow them to loot. You've got to get tougher. You're becoming politically correct.
It's not your call, though, is it, Larry? I mean, I'm not. It's the call of people above your pay grade, as they say.
That is correct. And Larry, I hear you. I hear the same sentiment very often, almost every day I come to work, from different people. How come we let things happen? How come we're not being more police-oriented? Howie's right. It has nothing to do with the men and women of the Boston Police Patrolmen's Association. They are doing a great job every day following the direction of the department. And again, I'm not blaming the department hierarchy. Greg Long, Superintendent Bailey, doing a phenomenal job this past weekend. Every man and woman in uniform was working, and every man in uniform deserves to be thanked.
One of those cops is still in the hospital. How's he doing tonight?
He's recovering tonight. He had surgery. He was shot, Howie. So it's just as you imagine. He is recovering tonight, and the family's with him.
Thank you, Larry Calderon. I'm Howie Carr.